Happy Star Wars, everybody. I have no clue why anyone would want to make a campaign, start a campaign. Let me start this over. Happy Star Wars, everybody. I don't understand why anyone would want to start a campaign to remake The Last Jedi. And we'll talk about that for a second. But I also want to talk about this pile of Star Wars comics in front of me. Like, I have so many comics to get through. I just picked up the first three, speaking of The Last Jedi, I picked up the first three issues of The Last Jedi comicization? Is that what it's called? Like a novelization, but put into comic form, right? The comic version, right? It's written by Gary Whitta, pulling out number one. Let me take a look. I'm so stupid and busy, and it's making this stupid crap, making it very difficult for me to get through the things I want to get through. Yeah, Gary Whitta. Walsh is amazing. He's the artist. Michael Walsh. Mike Spencer's colors. Now, I don't talk a lot about comics in my life because I don't read a lot of comics. I actually love Star Wars comics. I was into Saga. I liked Saga for a while until Saga got a little too out there for me. Not really out there, just like, I don't know, convoluted for convoluted sake. I don't like things that get convoluted for convoluted sake. Because I like simple stories. It's why I'm not into Westworld Season 2 very much. I'm sorry. I think it was a little convoluted for convoluted sake. I got about halfway through, and I'll pick it up again. I'll finish, but right now, I need something a little bit more straightforward. Gary Whitta is killing it with these comics. And the art is really cool, too, because it reminds me of, like, sometimes it's so simple and lo-fi because they don't need to show you so much emotion. They don't need to show you so much detail. They only need to show you a little bit of emotion, right? Like, if you need to see a happy crowd, like, sometimes the crowd will just, like, disappear and only the main characters will sort of... It's just, I don't know. I can't explain it. I like the way it looks. It feels like a comic. It does not feel like a photorealistic representation of the movie. It feels like someone interpreted the movie as a comic, and here's what they've done. And that's what I love about it. That's what my big issue right now in the comics, if you are a Star Wars comic fan and you're right now reading the Star Wars main series as well, there's a bit of a controversy in the fact that the art looks a little too realistic, right? Like, I understand what they're going for, but I prefer comics to be stylized. I prefer different, because everyone knows what Rey looks like, right? Rey's the white girl with the brown hair with the buns, right? With the staff. Luke is old Jedi. Kylo is cape guy. Like, we know. Now you do your own little interpretations of them. So Gary Whitta is fucking killing it. He's amazing. He's adding little touches to pieces in here. I've only gotten through number one. Like, I'm just gonna bring them to work today. I'm gonna read them on my lunch break. That's what I'm gonna do. There's all these little, like, additions to the movie Last Jedi. Like, just to the story that maybe, like, even after the fact you can add a little bit to, right? Like, that's what I kind of love about this, is that you can add new interpretations to things, right? Because the comic is coming out after the movie, you can kind of reimagine and reinterpret so close to the actual release of the thing, which means, like, you can have these fan arguments, you can have these fan debates back and forth immediately after the movie with an official, like, other telling of the story. I'm into this kind of stuff. I think people get a little bogged down in quote unquote canon, right? Like, I love that there's like multiple interpretations. Maybe I love that these are all fairy tales. I don't know. Shout out to Gary Whitta. Also, I follow you on Twitter. You're cool. What else do I got here? Number five of Thrawn, dude. The Thrawn comic series is so good. And then 17 of Vader, which ends the arc where they're fighting on Mon Cala. It's so great. They've reimagined Raddus, Admiral Raddus, and what's his face? It's a trap. Why couldn't I remember Ackbar? I can remember Raddus, but I couldn't remember Ackbar? Christ. Anyway, I have no clue what I was doing with this episode. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so lots of, like, comics. I have to read Star Wars comics. Okay, let's talk about comics for a second. Like, half a second. I am a 35-year-old boy, and I never had the disposable income to have comics. I could never go to the comic shop. I remember my dad and I go into the comic shop one day, and he was like, you should collect a comic, because that'll, like, you could start from number one, you buy every issue, you keep them nice, and that's, like, that's a cool thing to do as a kid. And I was like, sure. You gonna pay for them? Because I don't have a disposable income. And this is after the whole, like, acting career thing, when we were all, you know, poor. Is this podcast too real? Don't worry, kids. I bought Spawn number 0 and 01 because I remember they had, like, different covers or something, variant covers. But comics, like, now that I'm a 35-year-old with a little bit of a disposable income, I can go into the comic shop and pick up my stories. It's like, it feels great. I get it. I totally get it, and I want this to continue. I love this. I love comics. I love weekly, bi-weekly, you know, twice a month. I love just being able to, like, sit down with a book. It's not about a shared experience. It's about an experience with me and the page, right? I am admittedly not a huge reader. When I was a kid, I was born with bilateral strabismus, so I was born, like, cross-eyed. So I reading was very difficult for me until I had surgeries, but even then, reading was still difficult just to do because my strain on my eyes, and over time, just reading was hard, so I didn't do it as much. But comics were great because they were pictures. I could focus on that stuff. But I never could experience comics the way I wanted to, and now I can. And it's a golden age of Star Wars comics. They just reissued Tag and Bink Were Here. Tag and Bink, if you haven't ever heard of Tag and Bink, they're essentially the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of Star Wars. And if you don't know who Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are, they are like the two, like, background guards in Hamlet. Is it Hamlet? Right? Yeah. And it's like Hamlet told through their point of view. It's like a parody of Hamlet. It's Hamlet, right? It's not like Othello. No, that's Beast with Two Backs, sex thing. Does anyone remember that? That's the only thing you remember from, like, high school Othello is the Beast with Two Backs and your awkward teacher trying to, like, explain to you that that meant sex. So it's essentially like Tag and Bink are these two rando rebel spies who basically cause all the bullshit in the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. I hope they go back and do, like, eventually when the sequel trilogy is over, they do Tag and Bink still around, and they're, like, old dudes. It's like, they're just, like, it's, like, improbably, like, 110 years old. We've seen the Clone Wars. Yeah, they were Padawans. And then they grew up to be idiots. And then they grew up, and they're like old guys. They're like Statler and Waldorf, but like on the bridge of a Star Destroyer. They joined the First Order. Oh, I'm in. Hire me, Lucas. The Thrawn books are just good for the covers alone. Like, get in on this, kids. Get in on these comics. Star Wars comics are having an A+ time. I do not. Yes, you're gonna say like, where's your Dr. Aphra? Where's your regular Star Wars series? I collect the Aphra trades. I should probably start collecting the Aphra comics, but I like trades. I'm a big trades fan. But I had to get these. So I love comics. I like Star Wars comics specifically, and I like other comics that come around. I don't very much like superhero comics. But that's for another time. Not because I don't like superheroes and not because I don't like comics. I think that particular Venn diagram does not grab me. Alright. So let's talk a little bit about why I think remaking Last Jedi is the funniest thing I've seen on the internet probably in a long time. And there's only two areas of the spectrum that I can go with it. It's either a really great troll, like, oh, a masterpiece. Like, it's so good, they're gonna raise money off of it. Or it's just a dumb fan grift and they're gonna raise money off of it. So ultimately, what is the problem? Right? It's fans who are upset and they want to do a thing that remedies a situation that they think is in their head and that they think is there, but it's actually in their head. The interesting part of the remake The Last Jedi thing is that I don't know how it can turn out anything but hilarious, because they don't have the rights to Star Wars. It's gonna, like, have you ever seen the movie Be Kind, Rewind? The Swedes, right? Like, the fake, you know, redone movies? Like, I want to Swede The Last Jedi now. This is what it's gonna be. You can't. So, actually, let me back up. And I think that remaking The Last Jedi gets at a fundamental misunderstanding of what the benefit of being a fan of something is versus being a creator of something. Being a fan of something gives you the fundamental disconnect of, I don't have to worry about what I would do. That's, as a creative person, that is so good. That is so beneficial. That's so uplifting. That's like the world I want to live in. I do not want to have to go around and expend my emotional and creative energy on quote unquote fixing the things that I want to try and love. Rather, I like to find an experience that's new and open my heart and mind to it. And that's easier said than done, I know, but it's like, I have a fundamental understanding of the world that it is not a problem to do things selfishly with selfish motivations if they benefit others as well. So for instance, a lot of people have an issue with like holidays or festivals that are not for them, right? Versus me, I'm like, no, I love these things because it gives me an opportunity to go and celebrate someone else's thing, right? But then it's like, when are you getting to celebrate my thing? Well, then make a day for your thing. Or look deep inside and figure out why maybe your thing doesn't have a day yet, etc. I'm just like, open your heart, open your minds. So, Last Jedi, you get to appreciate it because it's Star Wars. You do not have to expend the energy to fix that because you didn't make it. You just get to experience it. You get to take it in. You get to talk about it with your friends. You get to reflect on it, and then you get to leave it alone. You get to let it go. It stays with you, and it's impactful, and maybe you don't like it, or you have bad things to say about it, or you have criticisms of it, or you want to discuss the merits of it. Those are all profoundly good things to do, right? Because that's what criticism, or good criticism, is about. Being, but wanting to do the thing over is the wrong relationship to have with something you love. There's a controlling aspect to being able to remake a thing, right? No, it's mine. I can control the destiny of Star Wars and do the thing. For better or for worse, you do not control Star Wars. And that is the best part about Star Wars. Again, the cure to a toxic fandom is to make your own thing. I know that that is like the BS answer bullshit way out of this whole thing, but that's the truth. The truth is, if you do not like what Star Wars is doing, you should write your own thing. There are lots of thousands of space operas now, right? Space opera is not a genre that people are not uninformed about. Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will most likely have a bigger opening than Solo. Think about that one. A movie that could only exist because of a generation of Star Wars fans acclimating to this type of goofy sci-fi now has eclipsed the brand that created it. Without Star Wars, you don't have a Marvel Cinematic Universe. Without Star Wars, you don't have cinema today. It's in our DNA. So, it's interesting that remaking The Last Jedi has taken on such a life of its own because it is the thing you don't want to have to do. Like, something that was brought up was, remember the edits of the prequels, like the Phantom edit, I believe it was called. Like, that stuff is great. Remixing is great. Do that kind of stuff, right? But the understanding is like, we need to take the thing as it is and remove it from existence and replace it with something that is more palatable to what was in my head before. And to that I say, I don't think you're actually a fan of Star Wars. I don't think you're a fan of anything. I don't know what you are. I think you're an artist. I think you're a creator. I think you're a very creative person who doesn't have the courage to put your own words down on paper. And that is not a slight. That is a challenge. That is do it. It took me a long time to get to that point. I'm scared. I have rampant imposter syndrome. I hate myself from the inside out. But I'm starting to put my stuff online. And I'm getting different reactions than I thought I would. And you will get that too. Make something. If Star Wars is leaving you empty, fill that with something you have created. Fill it with something that is self-made, and you will be very, 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 very content. You do not have to just fill your, you know, entertainment bucket maw with something that is store-bought. You can make something from scratch at home. A home-cooked meal. How do you like that for a metaphor, huh? Am I deep? I'm deep as shit. I can't believe you guys listen to this. Y'all, guys, girls, people. I do not know the metrics of my audience. Tell me if you're... Send me an email. Let me know what's up. Who are you? I would love to know who you are listening to this. Because not that I'm, like, surprised. I think it's cool. I love talking about Star Wars and making connections to the real world and to everyone and to other people through my mutual love of the thing. You know? Again, I call Star Wars a religion because I think it is a modern religion. I think tech companies, some entertainment... especially entertainment that bills itself as parable and story and as Star Wars does, myth. Again, I think that the word religion is very loaded, but modern religion is a not so much an ideological, strict belief system, but more rather a set of principles or code that that align with your moral choices and your moral decisions and your outlook on life. And I will talk about that a lot next week, actually, on Yoda is My Dad, the next episode, which I will promise I will put out, which is a lot about where my outlook on life came from and how Star Wars greatly affected how I look at the world and the compassion that I hope I show towards people. So yeah, like wrapping all this up for just today at least, right? Like remaking The Last Jedi is a weird, funny thing to me because it misunderstands, in my eyes, what makes being a fan of something so great is that you don't have to live in it. And you'll notice creators who get too deep in it have very different reactions and different experiences when they eventually get to make the thing that they love, right? And I know we say these things like they're platitudes at this point, but like Rian Johnson is a Star Wars fan. Gareth Edwards is a Star Wars fan. Gareth Edwards is a massive Star Wars fan. These guys know these movies. They are me and you. Like, they are dumb nerds. Look at them on Twitter. Christ, get off that website. Turn off the app. You are famous filmmakers. No, they are us. They are fans. They are in the dirt. They're in the salt. They love it. Maybe. But that's interesting because, you know, they've had good experiences for the most part. Maybe, I don't know Gareth Edwards, but I'm sure he had a great experience with Rogue One, despite the fact that, you know, it was sort of taken, you know, Tony Gilroy took over halfway through and was like, let's make a couple changes and throw Darth Vader in the end. And it made it a fantastic Star Wars movie. But that's funny because then you get in and you hear someone like Colin Trevorrow who's like, I'm a Star Wars fan. And when I got to work on the thing and I got to see the sausage being made, it sucked. And I got booted by Kathy. So what are you going to do? I guess sometimes you don't want to get too close to the thing you love. And that's interesting, right? Same thing with Lord Miller. right? They got too close to the thing they loved, and maybe they played with it a little bit too much. Maybe they mashed their action figures a little bit too hard together, snapped one of Han's arms off, and it was like, gotta take these toys away. Too violent. Too goofy. I love Star Wars. And I know it's a platitude at this point, but creators who get too close to the things that they love end up having good or bad experiences with them. It is not a universal thing that if you love a thing, you should then make the thing. Because you can come away with, oh wait, this thing is just a product. This thing is just a story. This thing is just like everything else, hidden behind forests and a bureaucracy and walls of bullshit and money and approvals and yada, yada, yada. But as a fan, you don't get to see any of that. You don't get to look at the hot dog factory. You don't get to watch the abattoir. You don't have to hear the buzz saws. You get fresh packaged beef. What you should be concerned about is whether these things are being made ethically. Right? Are Lucasfilm employees and Disney employees being paid correctly and fairly? Are the correct people being hired to work on projects going forward? Is there a culture of inclusivity rather than a culture of fear? I think Lucasfilm is being extremely good in this current era of being better at just being better people in the entertainment industry, because it kind of sucks right now. But the entertainment industry does not have to be this cesspool, right? And Lucasfilm, I think, shows that. Hopefully, you know. Again, having a lot of women in leadership roles does not hurt for inclusivity. I think that's really wonderful. And I think Kathy's made a lot of mistakes. But come on. Slow down on Kathy, by the way. Hashtag leave Kathy alone, right? I'm not saying, again, she's made a lot of mistakes. She has, she's blown $200 million on Solo, right? When probably, based on the books and the numbers, you just release the Lord Miller thing and you go, okay, it's going to make $120 million. And it took $150 million to make, and then it'll do $200 million, $250 million, and we'll be fine. And it's just another chapter in Star Wars. Or you do the gamble, and then Disney does the marketing pull in 3 months, and blah, 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 and Avengers. And she rolled a couple threes and fours. Hasn't rolled a one yet. We ain't got no Phantom Menace. If Kathy's like, the next movie we're doing is the next holiday special, like, we're definitely going back all in on the holiday specials, I'll be like, okay, I think you guys have a point. But let me tell you the thing about mistakes. And a little thing that a little buddy of mine told me. His name is Yoder. I think you've heard of him. Green guy, little dude. Burned down a tree. Mistakes, you're allowed to make mistakes. You're a human being. I'm talking to you. You're allowed to make mistakes. Just don't keep making the same mistakes, right? Learn. Move forward. Don't look back. Look back to you know, learn forward, but don't live in the past. Move forward. Learn from your mistakes. And keep going. What did Yoda say in The Last Jedi? The greatest teacher, failure is. Failure. This is something I've had to learn recently a lot of and really look deep into. And again, next week we'll talk a lot about why I think Yoda is the most underrated character in Star Wars. I know. That's like saying, like, Superman is an underrated superhero. I don't know. But Yoda is profoundly, profoundly wise in ways that I wish I could ever be in my greatest lifetimes. He has taught me everything I need to know about success and the future and how to approach life, and we'll talk about that next week. Until then, I'll see you next week. Happy Star Wars for 627. When's this coming out? Probably 627. Oh, hi, Rocky. You want to say goodbye? Yeah, I know. Send your questions and comments and all that stuff to questions@happystarwars.com. Rocky, what do you want? Say goodbye to everybody. Now he's just being an annoying. Goodbye.